Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with my co-host, Michael Bowen. And today in studio, we have principal at Cookeville High School, Max Pettit, on the show. Welcome to the show, Max.
Thank you, Sam. It's my pleasure to be here.
I'm going to refer to you. I'm used to it now, Max. I call you coach all the time. I do that a lot with former coaches, and we all answer to that, so it's easy to do. But I think a lot of folks out there listening, Max, will not even know probably that you coached for a long period of time. So tell us a little bit about your coaching career and what you coached.
Okay, sure. When I first started my career in education, my superintendent told me, you're coaching football, basketball, tennis, and track, and there's no way out of that. So my coaching career started a long, long time ago. My dad was a former football coach, and I grew up on the football field. I think I probably ran more 40-yard sprints than anybody in history because I used to run right beside the guys when they ran, and I loved it then, but when I actually became a player, it was more difficult.
But, sprints took on a new meaning then.
Exactly right. But I started in 1989 as a paraprofessional football coach, and I've been to a football game every Friday night since, and I loved every minute of it. But I've coached football for 24 years. I've also coached a little tennis. I've coached some middle school basketball, and enjoyed every second of it. I started my career because I wanted to coach, and then I learned the love to teach, and now I love leading teachers as a principal in that role. So coaching is a part of my family, my heritage. Friday nights are awful special to me and my family.
So somewhere along the way, I mean, you just said it yourself, sometimes coaches get a bad name for not being good teachers. But, in my experience, and Michael, you jump in here too, some of my best teachers along the way in Cookeville, in Putnam County, have been coaches. And so I think they kind of run hand in hand. What's your thoughts there?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, if you look at what the coach does during practice, he's teaching. He's teaching a skill. He's teaching a plan. He's teaching execution. So a good coach is a natural teacher. Now, I've seen some bad coaches that made bad teachers, but most of the good ones, Sam, they're outstanding in the classroom. And there's a saying, we're hired as teachers first and coaches second. But I've had the fortune of playing under wonderful coaches and working with some great coaches, and they were all superb teachers.
So when you were in the classroom and you were teaching, what was your academic curriculum that you taught?
Well, biology.
It was biology. Uh-huh. We have that in common. I taught biology, too, along the way. Actually really enjoyed that. That was something very interesting to me, that kids, really benefited students as they get older and older.
So, Max, you touched on playing football early. Let's back up a little bit and talk about where you're from and what kind of sports you played growing up.
Sure. Well, I was born in Glasgow, Kentucky.
Okay.
Spent the first year of my life there, and then my dad got his first head coaching job in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, and the family moved there, and we were there ever since. Dad was an avid athlete himself, so we were always playing basketball, football, baseball in the yard, and that was something that he just loved doing, even as an older gentleman. But when I really got started, I fell in love with football because I'd been around it on the practice field and right beside him during the games, and that was my first passion for sure. And I did play basketball, and I did play baseball, so I was a three-star, not really a star, let's say, a three-sport athlete.
Three-star would mean something nowadays, I tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what kind of star I would have been, but I played all three of them and enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah.
So what was different where you're from, what you see in youth sports when you were growing up, as maybe compared to what you see today?
Oh, well, I see – When I grew up and playing around my friends and my teammates, it was the kids had a passion for it. The kids wanted to be coached hard. They wanted their coach to love on them and care about them, but also they didn't mind that coach getting right with them, so to speak.
Giving a little tough love.
Yes, exactly. And that was very much a part of the culture of coaching at that point. If you didn't do your job, if you weren't executing, man, they were going to let you know about it in a very aggressive way. And the kids accepted that, and the parents accepted that, and they were okay with it. Today, it's a little harder to do that. If you get on a kid a little bit too hard, you're going to have to deal with the parents afterwards. And that part of the culture has changed a great deal. community support, back in our time, of course, we had a pretty good football team, and I mean, they would line the streets and I mean, pack the crowd. It was a city event, a community event. You could have went to the local bank and had your way because everybody was at that football game. And they loved it. I've seen that kind of start to go away now, and I attribute that to all the different things for kids to do and people to do in the community rather than go to the high school football game. I think Cookeville's a very special place. I mean, there's a big turnout for Cookeville High School games, and there's a lot of school spirit, and I see a lot of similarities there that I noticed when I was growing up as a young man.
You know, that's tough. You hit on a bunch of things right there, Max, that we'll hopefully uncover as we go through the interview process today of the radio show. But, you know, I guess my experience there was leaving Cookeville for my first job and going to Smith County right down the road. Right. Not very far, but it's a much smaller community. And I noticed almost immediately, and I was a middle school head coach and assistant with the high school at that time, and I noticed immediately that not only was there a traditional sense of worth as far as football is concerned, but Friday nights, the town was empty, and they were at the football game. And you could say that for basketball and all the sports. And I think the size of the community has a little bit to do with it, but at the same time, you throw a lot of tradition in football and in the sports in a place like Smith County. It gave me the opportunity to really see what tradition was. And, you know, like you said, on a Friday night, if you wanted to rob somebody, it would be very easy to do because everybody was at the game.
That's right. You know, you're in a place that's got a rich tradition that on Saturday morning, if things didn't go well and people in the community were kind of getting on you about the ball game and how it didn't go well. And back when I played, you know, this is how we did it. And that's kind of the way it is. I mean, the alumni at Tompkinsville, they would show up at the ball games. They were invested in what was going on. And they'd see you on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, whenever they would see you out in the community, and they'd want to talk to you about the ball game and let you know their expectations are to be winners. And you kind of felt that added pressure as a player and as an athlete that, man, I got to play for that guy. I'm not only playing for my school and my family, but I'm playing for every alumni that walked through these doors and played on this field. And that's big. I think if you have that, you have a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of belonging. You belong to a fraternity. You're an alumni with hundreds, if not thousands, of former players. And that's a pretty neat experience.
You compare a place like, you know, Smith County with a place like a school like Cookeville High School. Cookeville High School is a big school in the state of Tennessee, approximately in a normal situation about 2,300 kids. But you guys have seemed to, and this has been going on for a little while, but you guys seem to have done a good job in creating that tradition and making the students want to come out on a Friday night to watch a football or a basketball or, you know, soccer. You know, I go to watch some of the soccer games over there. There's good crowds there.
Yeah.
Softball, it goes all around. Softball, baseball, they're very well attended. How have you done that at Cookeville High School?
Well, a lot of the groundwork had already been laid, and our brigade, our student section, is phenomenal, and they do a great job of going through the hallways and recruiting kids to come to the game, and the more they can get there, the better it is, and the louder they are. And there's a lot of alumni that come back to the Cookeville High School athletic events, particularly in football, and kind of make it a neat experience. They're around their fence riders, their assistant coaches, they're yelling plays on the sideline and doing their normal sideline coaching. But what we try to do is make it a big deal at school, talk about it on the morning announcements, celebrate the successes with the whole school, get everybody involved, do spirit days where, you know, everybody dresses down and wears the Cavalier gear, and just talk it up and make those kids feel special. And, you know, it's their time to shine, and we do what we can to bring that out and give everybody the opportunity to see it.
Along those lines, I went to a track meet the other night, and I saw lots of other athletes from other sports in the stands supporting other athletes. And so just a great, to that example, just a great supporting staff, not just among the student section, but athletes from other sports.
Yeah, I know. That track meet, that looked like a state track meet. There was fans in the stand, and had students there rooting on their teammates, and they really do support each other. I don't care if it's football, basketball, lacrosse, tennis. I mean, our kids show up for it and support them, and it's awesome to be a part of that, and that's been that way for quite a while now. We're just doing some things at school and doing some cookouts for the brigade and feeding them and making them feel just you know, like, hey, this is it. And those guys take pride in that.
Today we're talking to Max Pettit, head principal and former football coach, but head principal at Cookeville High School. So, Max, continuing that conversation, a big school, it's got to be hard, you know, to make those things happen. And I think it is kind of a traditional thing at Cookeville High School to go to football games. You know, I have a young daughter that's a ninth grader there. And, you know, actually before she got to Cookeville High School, she didn't want to do a whole lot of those things. And then she got with some friends there, got with the right friends, and that was just what they did. That's what they do. They go to the basketball games, they go to football games, and I love it because it gives them the opportunity to meet more people and actually be a part of what's going on at Cookeville High School.
Yeah, it does. And you get that sense, that feeling of that culture, Sam, within the school. Kids are talking it up during the day, you know, and they're giving each other rides to the sporting events. And, you know, and if we're playing in Murfreesboro, those kids travel to Murfreesboro, carpool down there. So it is a very much part of the student body culture to be a part of that and to enjoy it and have fun. And they do a great job of it. And it's pretty inspiring to watch it because a lot of high schools don't support their teams. They don't have that same culture. It reminds me of the way it was when I played.
That's awesome. I mean, we talked about how much everything has changed, but at the same time, if you can get those kids interested in what's going on, it's really not changed that much.
Right. The kids haven't changed at all. The mindset of some of the grown folks might have changed. There may have been a shift of you know, where they're hanging their hat on the academic aspect of it or the extracurriculars. And we believe at Cookeville High School that those two things go hand in hand. If you can do anything to make school enjoyable and fun, then the academic part is going to come back and they're going to be very strong. And that's evident at Cookeville High School.
I think one thing that's bled through in many interviews that we've had on this show is the fact that, you know, kids haven't changed. It's more that the parents have changed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Max Pettit, principal at Cookeville High School.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, along with Michael Boy. And today we're talking with Max Pettit, now head principal at Cookeville High School, but former coach of a lot of things, but mainly football up in the Kentucky area at Tompkinsville.
So, Max, let's go back to your playing days a little bit and talk about those teams. You mentioned those teams were pretty successful. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we were very successful. During my 4 years of high school, we opportunity to make the playoffs every year. A couple of years we made a great run, won the regional championship, made it all the way to the semifinals, and just one score away from making it to the state championship. But that was a wonderful experience with a wonderful group of teammates that are lifelong friends now, and we get together and reflect back on those good days, and often every time we see each other and try to kid each other who was the fastest, who could hit the hardest, who could throw it the furthest. It's kind of like fishermen. If their arms are longer, their fish stories would be longer, and that's kind of the way we are. But it's a good situation. I was quarterback and had the opportunity to start and play a lot and be on the field quite a bit. But our team, a trick play would be a pass. I got to take the football and hand it to our fast running backs or pitch it out to them and sit back and watch them run. And we were very fortunate to have some great athletes on those teams. very fortunate to have some great coaches. To be honest with you, Coach Larry Moore was my head coach for 4 years, and his cohort, Coach Bill McClendon, those two were very inspirational in my life, not only while I played, but even still today when I see them. It's just great to sit down and reflect with those men. But and they were those hardcore coaches. and they were the in-your-face coach. And that was the coach that had high expectations for their players. And if they didn't live up to those expectations, you know, they let you know about it in a hurry. Yeah. But the thing about that is we didn't want to disappoint them. We didn't want to let them think we let them down. And, right. and I think that's what made our team so good, because we played not only for ourselves, we played to make our coaches proud of us. We thought that much of them, and we still do today. And I think that relationship piece that those coaches had was more like, hey, I'm going to be like your dad. I'm going to hold you accountable. And if you don't do things right, we're going to have a long talk about it. And then pat you on the back and get you back out there and get going. There's a lot of times I was afraid to come over to the sideline after messing up a snap or calling the wrong play, and I tried to sneak around back and come in the other end, but it never worked.
Yeah, they always sought you out, didn't they?
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about those coaches' influence on you, but I do want to call out, I don't think, Sam, you and I would have been too happy on that football team if a trick play was throwing a football, would we?
No, we're going to discuss that here in just a moment, how football has changed a little bit, no doubt.
It has. The only time we got to throw the ball is I pitch it to the tailback and get a tailback pass. And I kind of took me a long time to figure that out. The coach must not have thought I could throw it too good.
So you talked about some coaches. What did you take away from those coaches that you took on through your coaching career?
Well, not only through my coaching career, but life lessons that still apply today is that if you want to be successful, if you want to be a winner, no matter if you're dealing with football or basketball or just in life, it takes a great deal of dedication and commitment and hard work. And those things were demanded out of our players, demanded out of us, and we knew that from the minute we walked onto the field to the minute we walked off. He expected us to work hard, and there was the expectation that was a non-negotiable if he's going to be a part of that. So those are some of the lessons that I've learned, that, you know, work hard and you know, set your expectations at a high level and be dedicated to whatever you're doing. That's one thing. But I also learned something very valuable. You can rip a player. You can get after them pretty good. But make sure before they leave, you pat them on the back and you love on them. And you let them know that, hey, that's a competitive spirit. You know I love you. You know I care about you. And that's what those guys did so well. We thought they were our daddies, and because they would always get on us, but they'd always love on us after practice and let us know that, hey, I'm there for you.
This morning we're talking to Max Pettit, head principal at Cookeville High School, former football and other sport coach up in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, our neighbor up to the north. And I want to continue on there, Max. You know, you're exactly right about that. Football and sports in general creates that opportunity, you know, to rely on each other. It's a good model for teamwork. I mean, there's 11 people on the field, and everybody has to do their job specifically right on a given play to make it work. And that's unique.
Right. Right. I agree with you, and that's what's so special about football. It takes all 11 of you. All 11 have an assignment to execute on every play. And if everybody does that the way they've been coached up and what they've been taught, you're going to have success. And it's something special about working together and that piece flowing smoothly and that opportunity to make something big happen.
No doubt. Go ahead, Michael.
So Max, take this takes beyond your high school year. So what was the next step in your life?
Well, I went to Western Kentucky University and immediately started coaching as a paraprofessional and enjoyed all 4 years of that. And in that time frame, I got to work with some of the best coaches, Sam Clark, a former coach from Western Kentucky University, and also Lawrence Butch Gilbert, another assistant head coach at Western. And those guys just took me under their wings and showed me the do's and the don'ts. And, you know, they were basically coaching me like Coach Moore and Coach McClendon about how to be successful as a coach. And they were very powerful influences on me all 4 years of my college. And I majored in biology for a long time. I was going to be a pre-med. Decided that I wanted to follow what I love, and that was the athletic side of things. So I went back and got my teaching credentials and started coaching and started teaching and loved every second of it.
Max, did you realize along the way with all these powerful influences in your life, did you realize that you know, you were learning lessons about ball, but you were also learning lessons that were going to help you the rest of your life. I think it took me a while to kind of figure that out, but once I did, it made it that more special.
That's right, Sam. I'll tell you what. You hear us all the time in the educational field say the most important thing is building relationships with your students and your faculty, too, in my position. And that's one thing that my father taught me, Coach Gilbert taught me, and Coach Clark taught me, and my high school coaches as well, is that if you want somebody to pour out their heart for you, give every ounce of effort they've got, you've got to have a good, solid, positive relationship with that person. And you work on that. You work on that before practice. You work on that during practice. You work on that after practice. You give a kid a ride home. Buy them a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Just let them know that you care about them in a responsible way, and you can get them to run through a brick wall for you. And those guys kind of taught me that being a good coach is having a strong relationship with your players. You see coaches today, they're arrogant. They don't – I just call it like it is. And they don't take the time to build the relationship with their kids. And they may be successful simply because they have good athletes, but
right.
Not over the long haul, not over the course of a career.
Yeah. Sounds like what a lot they're giving you is leadership training along your life, really.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about it like that, but, you know, sitting here talking with you guys and reflecting back on that – It sounds just like that, and I take those things that I've been taught. I didn't know they were teaching me. I just knew I had to do these things, and now as a veteran looking back on those, that's exactly what they were doing, and they was preparing me for life, and they not just me, but all the kids that they had the opportunity to work with.
So we got Max Pettit in the house today, Cookeville High School principal. We're going to be right back after we take a short break. Good morning, Upper Cumberland. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Michael Bowen, and guest in the house, Max Pettit, Cookeville High School fame, and also back in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, where he coached a little football.
So, Max, we talked about your college years. Let's go beyond that. How did you transition to come to Cookeville eventually?
Okay, well, I worked for 30 years in Kentucky. 24 of those years, I was either an administrator or coach or a teacher and a coach, and just loved that a great deal. And it got to the point where I could retire out of Kentucky, and that was a good opportunity. And I'd planned my whole career to make the transition over to Tennessee for a few years after I got out of Kentucky. And I don't know, I guess the planets aligned. It's about the time I had filed my retirement papers, I saw an opening at Cookeville High School. And I've always had an attraction towards Cookeville High School. I can remember standing on the old Tech turf out there and holding my dad's hand and playing, I guess at that time I'd been Putnam County. Putnam County High School. But we was playing Cookeville, and I was just amazed at the field and the size of the kids over across the way, and they went on to put a pretty good thumping on us that ball game. But and they've always stuck in my mind, you know, Cookeville would be a great place to be, a great community. So I put my name in the hat. There was several applicants. I really didn't think I had a shot at it, not being from Tennessee or not being from Putnam County. But I got lucky and had the opportunity to accept the job, and I've loved every single second of it. I mean, the people of Cookeville are awesome. The school community is awesome. The kids are great. I can't say enough about the character of our students. I mean, if I hear yes, sir, or no, sir, one time, I hear it 100 times a day. High school kids sometimes get a bad rap, but they're great. They're good kids. It's a pleasure to work with them. And our faculty and staff at Cookeville High School are second to none, high quality. Another thing that always kept me interested in Cookeville High School and Cookeville in general is my dad had two players, Elois Grooms and Greg Hamilton, came to came to Tennessee Tech, and they were both All-Americans. Matter of fact, Elois went on to have an 11-year career in the NFL. But we would come down almost every home game and watch those guys play there for about eight years. And and I just kind of fell in love with the place and thought if I ever had the opportunity, I'd like to be here.
That's awesome. Good story. Just like anything else, Max, you tend to hear more about negative, professional football. You know, these guys that play on these teams do so many good things in their communities, and you don't hear or see a lot about those things. But when one of them does something bad or you know, gets a DUI for driving, you know, when he's not supposed to be, we know that's wrong. Everybody knows that's wrong. But it seems like those negative things are highlighted so much more than the good things that they do. And I think the same thing exists at Cookeville High School, especially with those students. There's so many kids are being involved in these extracurricular activities. You know, like you take a look at chorus, you take a look at drama at Cookeville High School. It's some of the best you're going to find anywhere around.
Oh, they're top notch. I mean, they're amazing. Those programs have flourished and excel at a high level. That's true. I'd say people haven't heard about our five national merit finalists and our presidential scholars and our three perfect ACT scores of 36, our one West Point appointment. You know, there's so many good. I could go on and on with a list like that I'm very proud of. Our teachers are very proud of. But you know, we got to do a better job of getting out there in the community. But if something goes wrong in the school, it gets on social media. A lot of times, when I call a kid to the office, the parent phone call beats the kid to the office because they already texted out to mom and dad, I'm in trouble. And so mom and dad's coming to find out what's going on. And that's okay. As a parent, you have that right to do that. But I'm just making a point that negative things will get out there a lot quicker than the positive things that go on in that school. And we have so many positive things that to celebrate and to report, and we're going to start doing a better job of doing that for sure.
I think social media is very powerful, and I think there's a lot of good to social media, but I also think there's a lot of negative and a lot of bad. And you just mentioned one thing right there, but you know, getting the good word out is hard to do. I know that from what I do with the Vital program. So many great things that are going on in Putnam County, and so hard to get them out there. You know, Putnam County just responded by hiring someone, you know, to help us do that. And she's already done a fantastic job. Her name is Hannah Davis. But it is tough to get the awesome things. You just spun off about 10 things right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's very positive.
I have those listed on in our conference room in the main office. And so when we sit down as an administrative team, we just look up there at them and go through that list. And because a lot of times those meetings are not about the most positive things in the school. So we sit down and we focus on that before we get into the heart of the business.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, another positive thing are the facilities and some of the new sports fields and that sort of thing. You know, when I was playing for Sam, that was our first year playing on the new Cookeville High School field. We were playing at Tech, like you were speaking of earlier. But this is the first year we've got the new field turf, right?
Yeah, it's been awesome, I'll tell you. I mean, the kids love it, the coaches love it, and our crowd loves it. The field is absolutely beautiful. And you know, we went through a big effort to get that thing, and we're going to work hard to take care of it. And, you know, not many high schools in the Upper Cumberland have that. So we feel like that's special, and we want to make it special, and going to put some wins on that thing.
Great example of how the community will come together. And something in a fundraiser or something like that is very needed, and you guys did a really good job. We're talking to Max Pettit, principal at Cookeville High School today, and we're continuing the conversation surrounding what's going on at Cookeville High School with all the great things that need to be put out there.
So, Max, in your role, obviously you have lots of different responsibilities, so you're keeping an eye on everything going on with the school, not just sports, but, you know, academics, all extracurricular activities, that sort of thing. But would you touch on a little bit what you feel the role of sports is in the high school?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were actually talking about that earlier this week, about the importance of not just sports, but extracurricular activities, whether it be choir, whether it be band, or whether it be drama. Those things that kids fall in love with, that gets them coming. You know, come to school and it's all about math and English and science. You know, that's not too exciting at times. But if you have that connected to something that you truly love, it makes the day go better. I mean, for our school day, I mean, our teachers and our kids, we live for Spirit Day. Can't wait till Friday to get here so we can dress down and put our school colors on to start promoting that pride, start talking about that big game. And it just makes the environment. And I talk a lot about culture within our building being a positive culture. And I think sports and extracurricular activities build that culture. They help support that culture. And more importantly, they help you sustain it over a period of time. And that's important for your kids to be happy and to enjoy sports. I mean, very few kids go beyond high school and participate in athletics, a very small percentage. So to do that, you know, that's their time to shine. You know, that's their time to experience that competitiveness, that opportunity to be successful on the field, the opportunity to see that, hey, this is hard, this is physically challenging and demanding, but I can do it and I did it. And I just think it adds to your classroom. It helps me to go to Coach Maynard and say, Coach, you got some of your kids in the classroom not behaving the way they need to, or you got some not performing academically. And Coach Maynard to wiggle that mustache, and they'll jump over the moon for him.
Yeah.
And just to have that element, you know, and, you know, I tell them all the time, you know, if you're going to wear that jersey in these hallways, you know, you're going to have to act with some respect and some pride and conduct yourself just a little different, because what you're doing here, you know, is a privilege for you to be able to be a student athlete and to wear that color, to wear that jersey, and to be called a Cavalier.
Amen. Amen to that. So I gotta transition to this a little bit. I think people that are listening out there right now probably wondering, handling this situation that you dealt with, and we'll go all the way back to March, a little over a year ago. You know, you were dealt some things that probably you weren't expecting. First of all, a tornado, you know, that hit the community hard. And I saw a lot of really positive things out of that bad situation that happened. And then 2 weeks after that, we started learning about this thing called COVID, and we had to start dealing with that. And it was tough, specifically and particularly in high school, you know, because things are a little bit different in high school, a little bit more open, a little bit more free, a little bit more flexible with the students. But sometimes that didn't, you know, go in with what we had to deal with. So talk a little bit about your experience going all the way back to last March.
Well, Bill Harris claims that I brought all this to Putnam County. We never had any problems like this until you came here. So every time he thinks about that, he puts that back on me. But it has been I'm going to approach this two different ways. It has been a very positive experience for me as a principal. And I say that because during the tornado, I saw things out of our students and our teachers that were amazing. The way they rallied together, the way they pulled together, the way they fundraised, the way they wanted to get out and just go help somebody. Our baseball team the next day was out at a house working, cleaning it up. I mean, nobody told them to do that. They just went and started doing it. And so many examples like that. And we truly saw kindness and goodness come from those kids, and them kids bringing and giving their own money to donate to survivors of the tornado. So we saw that that came out really, really quick, and it speaks to the character of our student body, of how they responded and how they wanted to help their fellow classmates. Thousands of dollars, thousands of cans of food. I mean, it was just a good thing to see kids rallying to help other kids. Not like what you would see on a regular basis. So that's one thing that I observed. Also, during the pandemic, so many things happened that were unusual. Going to remote learning was different for all of us. I mean, we were, you know, a lot of days just standing there looking right straight up in the air trying to figure out what do we do next. But I saw some things out of the teachers. I saw things out of the kids, the way everybody adapted and became flexible and said, okay, this is going to be a little hard, it's going to be challenging, but we can do it. And we finished out last year in such a positive way in the midst of that pandemic, and came back in at the beginning of this year with a better mindset of how we can do this remote learning thing. And luckily, thanks to Mr. King and the district administrators, we were able to stay in session. Had some kids remote. The biggest challenge for our teachers were some teachers had in-person students and remote students. And I would walk into a classroom and the teacher would be teaching the in-person kids. And then she'd say, hold on just 1 minute. And then turn to her laptop where she was Zooming with about 10 other kids. And what they have done, our teachers in Putnam County and around everywhere, just talking about Putnam County here, has been amazing to pull this school year off.
Max, I tell you, we're at our limit today in time. It's went so fast that we're going to have to probably get you back on the show sometime.
Well, I'd love to come
and talk
back
some more. So we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll get you back some other time. So thanks a lot.
All right, no problem. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.